Good morning. We invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have Sunday school this morning at 10 o'clock and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then our Wednesday night Bible study meets at 7 p.m. You can check us out on the internet by going to www.independencebaptist.org. You'll find much information there concerning our church. This morning, I'd like to read in the book of Psalms 62. The Bible states here, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation." This passage states very, very clearly that the believer's hope is only in Christ, because only Christ is really able to give salvation. There is no hope in anything else. David was a man after God's own heart, and he wrote these words that we read. Shouldn't we, who are not after God's own heart, also know that from God comes our eternal salvation? If we do not know that, then everything else is totally vain. In verse 2, the Bible says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Notice in this place that God alone is the final rock. He only is our rock. There is no hope in any other. There is no hope in self, or in any good self might be able to do. For all are very unworthy in the sight of Almighty God. Notice the similarity between the rock and our salvation. The Bible said, "He only is my rock and my salvation." Some might make them very different, but the Bible here declares they are the same. To trust in the everlasting rock is to have everlasting salvation. But to not trust in the everlasting rock is the same as not having everlasting salvation. Note that every person is forced to this point. You're either forced to trusting only in the Rock of Ages or trusting in yourselves. David is not trusting his being a great king or in the mighty works that he had done. Instead, he is trusting in Christ alone, and that is the same as having salvation. Those that trust in what they have done find it impossible to trust only in Christ. Those that trust in their being baptized or in church membership or in anything except Christ are trusting in things that they have done and are not trusting in that which only Christ can do for them. Note very carefully the result. David is completely relying upon Christ for his defense. He is not relying on anything he has ever done. Let me read to you again the book of Psalms 62 and verse 2. The Bible said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." You see, David is not relying on anything he has ever done. And David has done more than any of us have ever done. David has faced more than any of us have ever faced. But he is not trusting on how he stood. He is trusting in Christ who made him stand. David declares he will not be greatly moved. The Bible said in the book of Psalms 62 and verse 2, "I shall not be greatly moved." David says here in this place, he might be moved a little bit because of the infirmity of the flesh, but he will never be moved away from God. You see, David is not trusting in himself or in the fact that he will not be moved. But David is completely trusting in Christ to keep him stabilized. Do you understand that David, like us, is not depending on anything he has done or will do to keep him where he ought to be? We have no right to ever depend on anything we have ever done or will do to keep us where we ought to be. Total dependence on Christ is what counts. David, at this point, did not really know who Christ was, because it was not revealed in Scripture. But David did know Christ, and he was completely trusting in God to help him. In verse 3 and in verse 4, David here turns his thought away from himself and the fact that he is totally trusting in Christ. And David in Psalms 62 and verse 3 totally turns his attention toward those that are attempting to destroy Christ. The Bible says, "How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a boiling wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with the mouth, but they curse inwardly." You see, in this place, David is looking at those people that are not trusting in God. And this is who the battle, David says, is really against. The battle is not really against us, although sometimes we might think it is. He compares the time of unbelievers, who shall soon enough be slain, every one of them. At the present, they appear as a wall, but they appear as a boiling wall. Read that again in verse 3. "How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a boiling wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence." You know, the Bible here talks about these people that appear as a boiling wall or as a tottering fence. But David is admitting the loss of the world have strength, and they appear to be setting the stage or establishing limits as a wall or a fence does. But they're not as a straight wall. They are as a boiling wall. They are as a tottering fence. They will not stand long, though they will stand for a little while. Now, some people might look at a boiling wall and a tottering fence and be afraid. This is like David's brothers looked at Goliath and were afraid. But there was no need to be afraid. The strength to defeat Goliath was not in David, but the strength to defeat Goliath was in God. And God was used by David in order to defeat Goliath. And we can do exactly the same thing. We must always look beyond the flimsy defenses of Satan to the truth of God and stand and let God defeat the enemy. It is not our place to defeat anybody. We cannot defeat anybody. But it is always in the hand of God to bring defeat to the enemies of God. The Bible states in verse 3 and verse 4 that the wicked have only one desire, which they consult together to accomplish. That desire is to cast God down from his holy places and then inhabit the holy places themselves. The wicked desire more to cast God down from his holy places, from his holy throne, but their real desire is to cast him down from his excellency. The wicked desire to cast God down from being God. They desire to cause God to become less than a man, to be cast into the very pits of hell and themselves raised to an excellent place. In order to accomplish all of this, they become delightful in their lies. Lies which themselves come to believe because of telling so much and so often. Their lives are based upon lies and lying, and they come to love it all. Notice, in their continual lying, they become excellent at blessing with a mouth, saying they agree, while inside them they curse all true believers. Plus, more horrible than this, they actually curse God and his holy decrees. Let me read this to you in verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. This is really what's going on. In verse 5, the Bible turns again, and David begins to talk about the believers. And he said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Every true believer begins to understand that there is a battle, that there is a warfare that's going on. And they begin to wait upon God to be angry and to give to the unbelievers His vengeance. Notice the word only once again there in verse 5. It is not that the believer waits until the right moment, then calls upon God. It is not that the believer waits until the proper number of people are with him, and then he calls on God. The believer waits on God, for the expectation is from God alone. The believer might desire God to give his vengeance, but the believer waits on God. For the believer, as all believers know and understand, God's time is not our time. In verse 6, we find the final word, only. In verse 6, the Bible says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Notice here again that David repeats himself from verse 2. And we'll read verse 2 again. The Bible said, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. The only difference between verse 2 and verse 6 is the word greatly, meaning I will not be greatly moved, or I will not be moved. In this place, David repeats once again that God is his defense. But this time, in verse 6, David says he will not be moved at all. This teaches us the importance of always seeing things from God's point of view, for God is the one that gives us strength. Notice the confidence is in Christ, not in self. In verse 7, David says, In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. David makes it very, very clear here that even though he is a soldier, even though David has killed men, even though David has gone to warfare for the cause of Christ, that David is realizing that only God can give him the real glory, the real honor, and the real praise. Only God can do that. And God's the same today as it was in the days of David. The Bible said in verse 8, Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Here David is calling upon the people, and he says, Trust in God at all times. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. And God is. God is the one that can change our nation. God is the one that can change us. God is the only one that can do any of these great things. In verse 9, David says, Surely men of low degree are vanity, and they are. And men of high degree are a lie, and they are. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. And that's so very true. In verse 10, Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. How very important it is that we might trust God and not the wealth of this world. This wealth is going to pass away. But God will never, ever pass away. He will always be there. Today, if you're lost, we pray that you might seek the face of the Lord God, know that He is God, and know that only God can save your eternal soul. If you're saved today, we pray that God would just bless you as you read Psalms 62, and that you might be involved in praising God, and how much He can bless you, and how much He can watch over you. We see that our time has gone away from us again today. We invite you to come to services at the Independence Baptist Church. And listen again next Sunday morning, the Lord willing.